everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Dating someone new is the best, isn't it? Think back to your last relationship where you met someone and you were just feeling blissful, like you were in a fairy tale, and you just couldn't even believe it. You were just pinching yourself because you were so happy. If you're listening to this and you are going through a divorce or thinking about one, or you're not happy in your relationship, or maybe you're already divorced and now you're thinking about dating again, this podcast is meant to inspire you that these feelings of a new relationship are going to happen to you again eventually, and it's going to be wonderful. But I also want to offer advice for people dating someone new, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So some characteristics of dating someone new are that you feel like the person can't do anything wrong. He or she is just perfect, right? You also text each other these cute little texts like 20 times a day. He or she is on your mind all the time. Life seems great. Whenever you have a problem, it doesn't even matter because you're just so happy and you're so on a cloud. And it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And when that happens to you, just know that I am very, very happy for you. And it's great. I want to get into 10 pieces of advice for a new relationship. Okay? So here goes. Number one, if you are in a new relationship and you're thinking, what's the catch? And you're waiting for the shoe to drop. Just stop doing that. I know that if you're divorced, you probably have this wall up and you're afraid and you don't really trust people, and that's perfectly understandable and it's perfectly okay. But just try to enjoy this new person. Sure, there might be something that comes up later, something in the relationship that you might not know about, but until the person gives you a reason to doubt something, just go with it and realize that you deserve to be happy. So number two, don't be afraid to be yourself right from the start. Authenticity is so important in relationships right from the beginning because it's not only going to make the relationship more meaningful, but there's not going to be as many surprises that come up in the future. You just be yourself and have the attitude, if he doesn't like it, then it's not right and it's perfectly okay. Third piece of advice for a new relationship, being vulnerable and honest is a good thing. So scary to be vulnerable after a divorce. I completely understand. But the best relationships are those where you're vulnerable, and then you can see that the other person embraces that and loves you for who you are. It's a great feeling. Number four, have the attitude that you deserve this nauseating happiness that's going on right now in your new relationship. Okay? Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad about getting a babysitter to go out with your new guy. Just feel like you've been through a lot with a divorce. You've been in pain for a long time. You've been feeling lonely for a while, and you deserve to be happy. I'm going to move on to number five of 10 pieces of advice for a new relationship. But before I do that, I want to mention two Divorce Girl Smiling partners that you might want to know about. First of all, if you're going through a divorce or after divorce, you might have to refinance your home if you're staying in your current home. Or maybe you're going to buy a new home. If either one of those pertain to you, I would highly recommend Tammy Wolenzak, a mortgage banker who is also a certified divorce lending professional. I actually worked with Tammy on a mortgage, and She's been a Divorce Girl Smiling partner for a couple years, and I just really trust her. I think she's so passionate about helping divorced men and women who need a mortgage. So Tammy Wolanczak, you can find her on Divorce Girl Smiling or at tammywolanczak.com. The second person I want to mention is divorce attorney Patricia Van Haren. Patricia is wonderful. She's based in California, and she does all mediation and the collaborative divorce process. Patricia's actually divorced herself. She completely gets you. She's a wonderful, warm person and will explain all of the divorce processes to you. And great person to have a consultation with if you're thinking about divorce, or, of course, if you're going through one. So Patricia Van Haren, you can find her online or on divorcegirlsmiling.com. This is the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast. This is Jackie Pilisoff, your host, and we're talking 10 pieces of advice for a new relationship. Number 5, don't ignore red flags. So if one pops up, like for example, you start to notice that your new guy is drinking a ton. He's ordering all these drinks. I'm not saying you should break up with him, but just be aware of it, and even better, address it. So maybe ask him, you know, like, how come you're drinking so much? Like, do you just drink a lot? And if he becomes very defensive and gets mad, that's an issue. No need to tippy toe around things, especially at the beginning. And by the way, if he's mean to you even one time, you owe it to yourself to address it, because people's behavior at the beginning is always really great. And then you see something, and it might be the shoe dropping and it might not, but that's okay. But for sure, you're going to see something, which leads me to number 6 of my 10 pieces of advice. Realize that you might have an argument soon. Don't be upset and think to yourself, oh my gosh, the relationship's over. No. It might not be a bad one. It might even bring you closer together. Arguments are normal. Try not to get over emotional. And also, when you argue with someone, it shows you how to handle conflict with the person and kind of shows you how the two of you are going to deal with the argument. Number 7, if you stay together long enough, certain things are going to start bugging the crap out of you and vice versa. That's okay. It's normal. It's inevitable. Number 8, if you stay together for a long time, remember to try to treat each other the way you're treating each other now. I think the best relationships are with people that act like they're still in that initial dating phase. Never stop dating. Never stop respecting each other and treating each other wonderfully like you're doing now. Number 9, have protected sex until you both get tested for all STDs. So I want to tell you something. There is a statistic that has come out that said the largest percentage of STDs are in people over 50 years old. And you know why that is? It's because people are not concerned that they're going to get pregnant, so they don't have protected sex. So you owe it to yourself. You don't want to get STDs. Make sure that both of you go for all the tests. Make sure everything's good. And then you can go out and celebrate. Number 10 of the 10 tips is keep praying. What do I mean by that? Have gratitude and thank God every day that you met this person. I truly believe that praying helps a lot more than you might think. The thing about new relationships, especially after divorce and or over 40, is that they're often so unexpected and the bar has been set so low due to the hurt that we've faced in the past that when love hits, it's almost shocking in a really good way. It's like you have this gift that you never expected would happen again. And maybe you thought you were too old or too jaded or whatever the reason, but it's like this amazing surprise. And so it almost feels like you're holding it really, like it's something really fragile and you're afraid it's going to end. And it won't. And if it does, that's okay, because what you've learned is that it's possible to find love after divorce and after 40. And it's possible to have that awesome feeling that you once had when you were young before you were married. It's amazing. You're going to love it. You're going to be so happy. I want to move on to an article that I just published yesterday about three kinds of love in a lasting romantic relationship. And the idea for this article stemmed from a wedding I went to a few weeks ago. It was a beautiful wedding, and the people were young, but they were both over 40, but it was their first marriage. So they weren't really young, but they had never been married before. And the officiant who was marrying them at the altar talked about the three S's of love. And I Googled this, and it must have been something that he made up, because I couldn't find the three S's of love anywhere. So I'm going to give the officiant credit for this. I did not come up with the three S's of love. But what I ended up doing in this article is talking about the three S's and then giving my interpretation, which is what I want to do. So here are the three S's of love that you need to have a happy, healthy, romantic relationship. The first one is spark. The second one is substance. And the third one is sacrifice. So I'm going to tell you my take on the three S's. So number one, spark. I think spark is the easiest kind of love to find. But spark is also the hardest kind of love to maintain in a long-term relationship. Spark is fun, it's exciting, it's new, it's sexual. Spark is what leads you to want more. Spark can be anything from feeling that way about your soulmate all the way to it just being a one-night stand, a casual fling, whatever. So spark is infatuation, it's physical attraction, it's emotional attraction. And what I mean by holding on to the spark in your marriage or your long-term relationship is that on a regular basis, you have to act like you acted when you were first dating. That's what I was saying before. It's hard when you've been together for a long time. You know, people get older and the wife gets a muffin top and the husband gets a man body and you get wrinkles and flab and love handles. The spark ignites from non-physical attributes. Spark ignites from that loyalty and that trust and the thoughtfulness and kindness and romance and going out of your way for the person. The spark disappears when someone is mean to you or doesn't show you respect. You know, it's hard to find the spark when you can't trust your spouse, or when you feel like the person's distant or not fully committed or has one foot out the door or one eye open to meet someone else. Then it's hard to find the spark. The spark is at its best when couples see that their spouse is there for them through thick and through thin, through cancer, through a job loss, when something happens to their child, when the person gets promoted at work and your spouse is so happy for you and, you know, maybe does something really nice for you instead of being jealous or not thinking it's a big deal. The spouse might celebrate that you lost 20 pounds and is so happy for you and says, "You're so beautiful and I loved you even before the 20 pounds. Spark is so much more than physical attributes. All right, so that's spark. I want to move on to number two, which is substance. So when I was in my 20s, I remember I dated this guy and he was a really hot guy. And one of my friends said to me, "If you found out that you and so could never have sex again, would you still want to be in the relationship?" And all those years ago, I can't remember how I answered the question, but you know, the relationship didn't last, so I guess I had my answer. But how I feel is where spark is the appetizer of a relationship, substance is the meat. Substance is what happens when a couple lives together and starts going through life together. Substance is how your spouse reacts when, you know, there's a gas leak in your home and the two of you find yourself homeless for 3 days. Substance is when you have a baby and you see your spouse at his or her worst because she's tired, sleep deprived, getting up in the middle of the night, irritable, grumpy, and all that. Substance is when someone's parent dies and you see your spouse devastated and you don't know what to do for them to make them feel better. Substance is everything except for spark and sacrifice, which I'm going to get to in a minute. Substance is how you get along. It's trusting. It's the commitment when sometimes you might feel trapped. It's your willingness to go to therapy to work out the relationship. It's the friendship in your marriage. It's the fostering to try to keep the spark. It's when you're willing to do whatever you can to keep your spouse happy. So my point of substance is that relationships take work. Not only do you have to work on the spark, but you have to work on the substance. I'm going to move on to number three, sacrifice. But before I do that, I want to mention two more Divorce Girl Smiling partners who I think you will love knowing about if you're in need of their services. The first one is CEL and Associates. Ellen Feldman and Brian James are a team, and they mediate divorces in Illinois and Wisconsin. I have known them for 10 years. They are warm, wonderful, hardworking, passionate mediators that will help you get divorced without a lawyer. Of course, after they draw up an agreement, after the mediation process, you can take it to your lawyer to review. But Ellen and Brian will get you divorced and get you a good deal that both partners will feel good about. I just love Ellen and Brian. I think they're great. And the other Divorce Girl Smiling partner I want to talk about is divorce attorney Tiffany Hughes. I've known Tiffany for about 2.5 years. Love her. She runs her own firm. She's extremely passionate. And Tiffany's somewhat of a litigator. So if you need to litigate your divorce and you need someone who's really going to go in there and, I don't want to use the word fight because Tiffany's not about fighting. She's about getting people good results. I would definitely consult with Tiffany Hughes. So it's the law office of Tiffany M. Hughes. You can also find CEL and Associates and Tiffany on divorcegirlsmiling.com. Moving on to sacrifice. Okay. One thing I've heard couples say a lot is, I'd do anything for so-and-so. But do they really mean it? If they do, this is sacrifice. Sacrifice is selflessness for your spouse. Sacrifice can be something big or it can be something small. Sacrifice is going to 10 in vitro sessions because you know how much your wife wants a child. Sacrifice is taking care of your spouse when he or she has the flu. Sacrifice is telling your guy friends you can't go watch a football game because it's your 2-year wedding anniversary and you want to take your wife out for dinner. Sacrifice is moving to another state for your husband's job. And sacrifice can be something as little as taking the dog out in a snowstorm because you know your spouse is cold and doesn't feel like doing it. Sacrifice is giving. It's giving because you love your spouse so much, you want to give. It's standing by your spouse no matter what, and it is the most beautiful kind of love I can think of. On a side note, I don't want people listening to this thinking I'm telling you you should stick by your spouse if he or she has an addiction or if they're emotionally abusive to you. That is not what I'm talking about. You have the right to leave a relationship that you feel is toxic, and if that's the better choice for you, then you did the right thing. So I don't want anybody to feel guilty. But I'm talking about in your next relationship, sacrifice is so beautiful. And sacrifice is the ultimate meaning of love, in my very romantic opinion. In closing, When these three kinds of love, spark, substance, and sacrifice, come together and they're intertwined, that makes the happiest, healthiest, most sustainable romantic relationship. And if one of these things is missing, the relationship will suffer. And sometimes it's easier to walk away. So I want you to know in closing that you deserve to have all three of these things in your next relationship. I wish you all the best. I'm rooting for you. I'm here for you if you need me. And if you want to learn more, visit divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.